Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Where no listener is ever left behind.
Yeah. The information economy has arrived.
The world is teeming with innovation as new business models reinvent every industry. Inside Analysis is your source of information and insight about how to make the most of this exciting new era. Learn more at InsideAnalysis.com.
InsideAnalysis.com.
And now, here's your host, Eric Cavanaugh.
If you're so dirty, you're gonna bring your mind. Welcome to the future.
All right, folks, welcome back once again. Welcome to the future indeed. It's time for Inside Analysis. Your host here, Eric Cavanaugh, with the only coast-to-coast radio show in the U.S. of A. that's all about the information economy. And, folks, we're going to talk about some really cool stuff today. We're going to go from the bottom to the top, if you will. We're going to talk about hardware and the recently passed CHIPS Act, which is pretty interesting stuff. And then we'll talk about dynamic software. So, of course, CHIPS, that's hardware. There is some chip manufacturing in the United States, not a whole heck of a lot. Most of it takes place overseas, about half of it in Taiwan. Another quarter of it comes from Samsung, our friends over in South Korea. So at best, we've got a small percentage here in the United States, and that is a pretty significant supply chain vulnerability. So we'll talk about that today with Professor Robert Hanfield from NC State. And we also have Asaf Darash on the line from a company called RegPack, doing some interesting work as well with dynamically designed software. So I'm a big fan of all that kind of stuff. And first, I'll give you my thoughts on the CHIPS Act. I think it's fantastic. I think this is one of the few times our government has done something credible and meaningful and positive. It reminds me of one of the last times they did something meaningful. It's a long time ago that Congress said you should be able to keep your cell phone number after you move from one carrier to another. That's how old I am. I remember when that came down the pike and I was like, wow. What a great freaking idea. Holy Christmas. Because before that, the carrier said, oh, no, it's too complicated. And government said, we don't really think so. We think that you should be able to figure that out. So why don't you just go figure it out? And they did. So now you can keep your cell phone number even after you change carriers. Think about how big a deal that is. People used to have to change cell phone numbers. That's a pain. Now your cell phone number is almost like your social security address or social security number, because it's a unique identifier for you. A lot of times your phone number and your email address, for example, can be used to identify who you are. That's wonderful stuff. So CHIPS Act is going to help with a lot of incentives, $52 billion over 5 years is what I'm reading. There are lots of little bits and pieces, too. There's some for the State Department. There's some for all sorts of different components of the stack, if you will, or different key stakeholders in the process. But bottom line is, it's good news because we want to be more self-reliant. Unfortunately, if China were to invade Taiwan, I think the effects would be dramatic and very unpleasant. Here's hoping that does not happen. Knock on wood. I think the Chinese tend to be a bit savvier than their Russian counterparts, who can rush in sometimes where maybe they should have feared to tread. But that being aside, let's bring in a Professor Robert Hanfield from NC State. Tell us a bit about yourself and your new book. You have a whole book on supply chain. Tell us about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me on your show today, Eric. So I'm a professor of supply chain management at North Carolina State University. I've been studying and researching supply chains for about 35 years. Have a new book out with my co-author, Tom Linton. It's called Flow, How the Best Supply Chains Thrive. And we've written the book over the last 3 years, and it talks about all of the problems that occurred, starting with the tariffs with China, COVID, certainly the Russian war, and all of these supply chain problems that we're experiencing today. And we talk about some of the solutions that organizations need to be thinking about to get their supply chains to flow again.
Yeah, and you brought up a really good point here, and the tariffs. And so even though COVID, of course, brought its own set of challenges, borders closing, I mean, this was major, major stuff, major disruption to supply chains, which have been global historically. And if you look at car manufacturing or computer manufacturing or any sort of advanced electronics, you have lots of different parts that are coming from lots of different places. And when that all gets thrown topsy-turvy, you got a real problem. But what kind of annoys me is that companies did have a warning in the tariffs. So we should have learned, hey, tariffs came along. Now we have to be much more creative about our supply chains. And as I'm sure you know, since you've studied it for 35 years, supply chains can be incredibly complex. If you just try to break down the computational component of managing a very significant supply chain, it's very hard to do because you have lots and lots of little things that have to come together. You have dependencies. There are all these other components that make it very, very complicated and thus a whole space for innovation. But what do you think about how much we've learned maybe in the last few years? Are we finally turning the corner and figuring this stuff out?
Well, I wish we could say yes, Eric. And I do think we are at a tipping point because if you look at what has happened, for 20 years, the U.S. and most of the Western world has offshored supply chains.
That's right.
Because China was cheap, right? You could get a low price. Transportation was fairly inexpensive. And there was plenty of labor over in Asia that was low-cost labor. So we offshored all of this, all of the stuff we produced. And then, bam, suddenly COVID hits. All of them shut down. So every single industry in the world, which sources from China and Vietnam and Indonesia, et cetera, and even Europe can no longer get materials. Mm-hmm. So this was a real wake-up call to a lot of organizations. They suddenly realized, even for medical products, you know, and pharmaceuticals, all that stuff is produced overseas. And we can't even support our frontline providers and hospitals with the medical equipment they need to treat these COVID patients. So as a result of that, you know, I was on something called the Joint Acquisition Task Force. We were working on trying to find sources of supply and to support domestic manufacturing. And actually then was asked to serve on a Senate committee for a bill that was passed by Senator Peters from Michigan. And that the objective of that bill was to start to require reshoring of some of these pharmaceutical products in particular. And so I've been a big proponent of that, working with their office. And actually, I've worked with the White House Council of Economic Advisors on talking about some of those same things. So this is a big issue, but, you know, it takes time to change people's mentalities, unfortunately.
Yeah, and supply chains themselves, right? I mean, from a manufacturing perspective, and, you know, we'll talk about the whole life cycle here. From a manufacturing perspective, you have to know, of course, what people are going to buy, but you have to know what parts are going to go into the things you want to manufacture. And if you don't have a really good handle on that entire supply chain end-to-end, when there's a disruption, it's going to take you a while to figure out what to do. Because first you have to figure out, wait, so what are we not getting? What products is that going to impact? It's just think about the hiring, the process of getting people on the shop floor to do certain things. I mean, this is a very complex environment. So when disruptions might occur, it's a real big problem, right? So I think that the good news probably is that we do now see an effort to resolve this. But to your point, it's going to take a number of years, right, to sort of flesh out a whole supply chain, not just a couple point solutions, right?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And you know, I think today what people have to start doing is what I would call supply chain mapping, which is to, you know, start understanding who is in that supply chain that produces that product. And I think most companies are aware of what they call who is their tier one, who's their first immediate supplier. But beyond that, when they go to tier two, three, and four, you know, they don't know the guys that are making that stuff upstream. And that's usually where, you know, the problems occur. That's where you get, you know, floods and you get government shutdowns and you get, you know, riots. You get trade unions that are striking. And when those things happen, you can shut down your entire supply chain. In fact, In our book, we have a term for that. It's called the kill shot. You know, who is the kill shot supplier in your supply chain that's going to shut you down? Most people have no idea today.
Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, so part of the resolution here is education, I think. What in the CHIPS Act do you find significantly worthwhile? Are there some things that people should be reading up on to take advantage of these incentives? Because a lot of it is built around incentives, right, to put together the component parts of a supply chain. What are some key aspects you think people should know about and research?
Well, I think the first thing people have to understand is, the semiconductor shortages are not new. They've been gone for some time, and it was definitely occurring prior to COVID. And, one of the reasons, of course, is the demand for chips has gone through the roof. It's in everything we buy today, dishwashers, coffee makers, thermostats, what have you. So everything is being digitized, and therefore everything is semiconductors in it. But the problem with capacity in chip making is that chip making has always been sort of subject to a price pressure for manufacturers. And the chip makers, are loath to invest in new capacity unless they know the demand is going to be there.
Wow.
And the thing is, a chip plant, to build one chip plant can cost several billion dollars. And it takes, 3 to 4 years. So the return on investment isn't that appealing unless you really know you've got a lot of demand. And so in the past, chip makers have been burned because they built these facilities, demand fell off, and they were stuck with these huge investments. Wow. So there was a big lag in capital investment. What happened during COVID is, the automotive industry cut all their orders to the chip makers during COVID. And wow. So other people got in line and absorbed that capacity. Well, we all know what happened. The automaker said, wait a second, we made a mistake. Actually, demand for cars is going up. And at that point, we'll get to the back of the line, buddy. We've already committed to these other customers. So, part of the problem is the structure of the chip industry itself. And, for instance, and I'm sure Saf can talk about this, one of the major bottlenecks is around these so-called logic, the ones that are designed by Qualcomm and NVIDIA and Apple. And, these brands don't actually make these chips. Mm-hmm. They outsource them to what are called foundries. The foundries are essentially contract manufacturers who make chips for all these companies. Well, guess what? About 91% of the contract chip production capacity is in Asia. 50% of all the foundries are in Taiwan with one company, Taiwan Semiconductor. Another 25% of foundries is with Samsung, which is also in Korea. And, these companies have built entire supply chains in Asia to support these fabs. So the CHIP Act is certainly a step in the right direction, but it's going to take years if we really want to reshore this to bring production back to the United States.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And, again, to help our audience understand the impact and the importance here, you come up with a chip design, and then from the time you're designing that chip to the time it's widely in production and supporting a whole ecosystem is typically about 10 years. So you're taking a decade of time. Well, so much can happen in a decade. Like we said, if, God forbid, China invades Taiwan, you're going to see a massive impact on what's available, the products that you can get, on getting parts for new machines that you want to build, whether it's cars or dishwashers or watches or whatever. All these different downstream devices have upstream issues that we have to resolve. And so, this the CHIPS Act starts the process. And I guess the idea is they are looking to seed the different steps in the staging, if you will. But nonetheless, it still takes time and orchestration and understanding. And that's, I think, part of the challenge is that you have to have a deep understanding of how a chip design can change what you design from an engineering perspective. And there aren't that many people who are very good at that kind of thing. So, you're a professor in this space, and so you're helping on the front end train the next generation of workers. But is there anything that that business people out there who are hearing this can do a research to kind of better apprise themselves of what the risks are, what the opportunities, and what they could be doing to help flesh out this new supply chain?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that's important to understand when you're studying getting into an industry like this is you have to understand where the bottlenecks are. And, you know, every supply chain student knows what a bottleneck is. It's the constraint in that supply chain that limits the flow of material through that supply chain. Mm-hmm. Well, in chip manufacturing, one of the biggest bottlenecks is what's called chip testing and packaging. And, you know, in Taiwan, there's only one company called King Yuan Electronics where they do all the testing. Mm-hmm. So that's a bottleneck. And, you know, when you have, you know, COVID mandates where, you know, no one can work, you know, if they're not testing chips, then guess what? Chips are not flowing through that supply chain. And so, you know, today the lead times for chips used to be 2 to 3 months. Today they're more than a year. Wow. That's taking an enormously long time. So if you order something, you might get it in a year. That's where we're at today.
That's crazy.
It is really crazy.
Yeah, and it's a problem from a design perspective, too. I know our first segment is coming up here, the ending of it, and we'll bring us off into the second segment. But I just wanted to kind of get into the details here. But, you know, when you have to wait a year to get this piece of equipment, to get it into your R&D operation, to get it into your testing, to be able to figure out, all right, are we really going to be able to use this thing? That slows down the whole process. And I think it really does impede the innovation cycle itself, because there's just less excitement around being able to do that. When you have to wait a long time, it's hard to prepare for that, especially if you don't know how long you have to wait. Is it a year? Is it 8 months? Is it 14 months? These are all significant factors. And you look at the talent group out there who can help you with this stuff. And it, like I say, it's a finite number of people. So it just throws a lot of uncertainty into the marketplace. Right, Rob?
Absolutely. And you know, as you know, we talked about TSMC. And, you know, as I said, in Taiwan, we mapped out the TSMC supply chain for their foundries. Well, their tier one suppliers, they had 2,500 suppliers. Mm-hmm. When you went up to tier two, these are companies that make the machines, the equipment for the foundries. You had more than 10,000 suppliers.
Wow.
So, you know, you can't just snap your fingers and say, well, we're going to throw some money at the chip industry and create a new industry here. You know, the Intel facility in Columbus, you know, we did an estimate. That facility alone will only meet about 4 to 6% of the demand for chips in the United States. Hmm. So it's a drop in the bucket when you look at the big picture. And, you know, the uncertainty of how long it'll take them to get this equipment, where they're going to get it from, et cetera, raises another, you know, set of questions there as well.
Yeah, it's going to be
such a downer.
Yeah, I know it's going to be a fun and interesting 6 months or so as we, you know, spin out of this pandemic, hopefully. But to your point, it takes a lot of time and effort to even conceive of new ideas, but it adds so much uncertainty to the marketplace. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here, folks. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Inside Analysis.
What if you could own a piece of the future? What if you could build your next castle, not on sand, but on the bedrock of a modern blockchain ecosystem? The first internet gold rush made millionaires. The second wave is minting billionaires. But the third wave is just gathering now, and anyone can get in on the action. Hop online to crowdpointtech.com to learn how you can secure a foothold in the blockchain revolution. Whatever your passion, wherever you want to go in life, there's an opportunity awaiting you right now. Go to crowdpointtech.com to learn how the blockchain will fuel the next generation of innovation in this globally connected world. That's crowdpointtech.com, your trusted agent in an untrusted world. What's the longest running radio show in the world focused on data? DM Radio. Want to be a guest sometime? Send an email to info@dmradio.biz. That's info@dmradio.biz.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1585. 877-247-1585. 877-247-1585.
Attention seniors on Medicare and Medicaid, or receiving extra help for your prescription drugs. We have great news. You can change or enroll into a Medicare plan every 3 months if you qualify, all from the comfort and safety of your own home, over the phone. No one even needs to come to your home. And in minutes, we'll tell you all about some additional new Medicare benefits for you, like dental, vision, hearing, transportation, and more. Call us. We'll explain all your new Medicare benefits. Premiums are as low as $0 per month. Even if you are not paying anything for your coverage now, you need to call our licensed agents to review your plan. There are zero-cost plans available in some areas. Don't wait till next year. Get all the Medicare benefits you deserve. Call a licensed agent today.
800-253-8126. 800-253-8126. That's 800-253-8126. Paid for by 65 Plus Medicare.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1821. 855-325-1821. That's 855-325-1821.
To Inside Analysis. Here's your host, Eric Cavanaugh.
Take us to the future.
All right, folks, take us to the future indeed. Take us to the future where we have a robust supply chain. That's what we're talking about with Professor Robert Hanfield from NC State. And next up, we have Asaf Darash from a company called RegPack. They're doing very interesting things with dynamic software. I'm a big fan of this concept. So Asaf, tell us a bit about yourself and what you folks are working on.
So first of all, thank you for having me on the show, Rick. And what Robert talked about was really, really interesting. Like to the point where I cannot even think about waiting a year to create an innovation in a company. That would be like, wow, how is that even possible to plan a year in advance? Oh, we'll get this out a year from now. So that sounds hard, but that's you know, hardware. So I'm the founder and CEO of RegPack. We have a software that allows mainly educational institutions and other type of businesses to automate their onboarding and payment processing. Mainly the part of onboarding the client and getting their information, signing agreements, and then actually putting them on payment plans, auto billing, recurring payments, etc. So if Robert was talking, like you said, about the low end, the hardware, the most basic part of the hardware, the semiconductor, the chip, which actually does the calculation, we're at the top of the food chain in that sense, where it's like 100% software, all connected to how you manipulate data and how you connect data points in a way that's unique, you could say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. You were talking about data structures earlier and how RegPack started as a sort of registration information gathering process. And you made some really interesting points about how machines read data and understand data versus how human beings read data and understand data. And of course, a big part of that is context. We have context as we walk around and talk to each other. I have certain presumptions I make about you that you make about me. All this stuff is just kind of baked into our consciousness and how we interact in the world. But when you start to break that down and try to map it out into software workflows, that's where things get very interesting. And you made some very interesting points that I thought about how you can design the data flow or design the flow of process in a way that aligns these two components, the functionality and the data itself, and that can be optimized. And so you came up with this idea of a software stack where you don't have constants, everything is a variable. This is kind of interesting. Tell us a bit about that and what that means and why it matters.
Sure. So the way that humans process information, like you said, is connected to context, but it's mainly connected to meaning. When we think of meaning. We mainly think of information as what it means. So for us, like we would say an address or a phone or an email or a name. So that holds meaning for us as humans. And then we've created a whole social structure around what this is, why this is important. For example, a name is an indicator for a person. Okay. Now, when you try to move that into computers, you're trying to move it into a system that works very, very differently. So computers, by definition, have no context and no meaning. And the way that they store information is very different. If we take the way that a human thinks about a name or an address, then they connect specific attributes to that, and then they understand the context. Whereas a computer doesn't know that this is a name and this is an address. The only thing it knows is this is an integer, this is an array, this is a JSON structure. It looks at structure, and it doesn't look at the actual meaning of the information. Us as humans, we give it meaning by using it. So the biggest problem with software a lot of times is that we embed that meaning into the software. And then what happens is, for example, this is why you find that this is software that is good for semiconductor plants. This is software that is good for a yoga studio. This is software that is good for a phone manufacturer. This is software. And why does that happen? Because the computer, by definition, is a general purpose machine. It crunches data. That's what it does, right? Mm-hmm. So it really doesn't make sense that you have very, very specific solutions for very, very specific industries that sometimes when you go into your app store, you have an application just to do this little thing. Why? Because as humans, it's easier for us to think in that way. But for computers, it's not. So once you say, okay, I'm not embedding the meaning into the structure of the software, but I'm actually letting the software work the way it should work, suddenly you get flexibility. For some people is mind-blowing. Think of it like this. For a computer, it doesn't matter if it's the name or the address. It's a data point. Now, if you allow the data point to flow between the various actions and connect attributes to the data point, for example, length of the data, what happens when the data is entered or not entered, what happens when the data reaches a certain point, then you create software that can be very, very flexible and allow businesses to do exactly what they want without the constraints of the software. You talk to any business manager, any business professional, anybody who's trying to do anything innovative, and the first thing they tell you is like, I can't find the software that does what I need it to do. Right? That's like the first thing that people say. And the reason that they say that is because a lot of software built with meaning into it, and then it has to create specific flow. Now, a lot of times these software tell you, this is the best way to do it. This is best practice. But I don't want to do that way. I'm creating a new, unique business, and I want to do it differently, and that's what's going to give me the edge in the market.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is it's very interesting. And I see a whole new space that is arising out of this right now. So we track the larger data space. So analytics, business intelligence, all that kind of fun stuff. And what we're seeing now is very interesting. There's a whole new renaissance around application development and design. You're seeing companies like Rockset, there's a company Implied, there's a company Census, there's a company Relational AI that's doing some interesting things. There are lots of these different companies coming along and creating new ways of building apps that are driven by either data or even by analytics, for example, or AI, or custom environments for leveraging AI-driven application development is one way to put it. And you're talking about something similar here where and I've noticed this. So if you think about, and this kind of maps back to our discussion of the CHIPS Act, we'll bring in Robert again in a few minutes. But what's interesting is that you're absolutely right that there is a ton of overlap in all these different applications that you can use. And there's also the complicating factor that, guess what? A company buys software X and the designers of software X thought it was going to do this and they wind up using it for that because they just figured something out. Well, that's fine. Like, getting value from software is the important thing you want to do when you buy software, whether you use it the way they told you to or not. Right? Like, use only as directed. That's what they say in the medical industry. That is not what happens in the enterprise software world, I can tell you for sure, because they do it all kinds of different ways. And the smart companies learn from what their customers do. That's why you have conferences and come and talk about what you did and how you did it and what's interesting about that. But what's fascinating to me is that you think about all the different software that's on the shelves today, if you will. A lot of it isn't even on the shelves. A lot of it you just buy from Amazon, right? If you look at what Amazon does with their reInvent conference, they have all these people come and talk about how they built new stuff in the cloud. Well, the cloud is a whole different set of dynamics and different cost points and different workflows and processes than the on-prem world. On-prem world is, you know, slowly fading away. I don't think it's going to go away completely ever. I think there will always be a sort of on-prem. You could argue that on-prem will be edge someday. I mean, I'm kind of throwing out these terms just to explain to people that we're in this sort of continuum where there was an old way of doing things, there's a new way of doing things, there's ways that will change in the future of how to do things. But at the end of the day, what you want to be able to do is get software that's going to optimize your spend, your time, and capture the DNA of your organization. And it sounds to me like that's the really interesting thing you've achieved here is by taking this variable-based approach, you're creating software structures that can be easily customized for X, Y, Z, PDQ, pretty much whatever you want to do. Is that about right, Asa?
That's very correct. The problem that we came to solve in the beginning is that this started as a research research project, and then it turned into an actual company. But when we actually started solving problems, we found that there is one area in business where every company does it differently, and that's onboarding their clients. When nearly every company, if you take out retail, right, they have to go through a process to turn you into a client. You need to sign something. You need to give some information. You need to pay something. You need someone to talk to you and understand what you need, and then make you go through a specific process, and then you become a client. Now, why is it different between every company? Because hopefully every company does something different, right? There's no reason for two companies to exist. that do the exact same thing unless they're in different continents, right? Mm-hmm. So what's happening here is that we found that these onboarding processes were so different between companies that even in 2020 or in 2015 when we started, most of it was done manually, either through on paper or on email or on the phone. And it was mind-blowing. Like, how could this be that everything is automated and this specific thing of becoming an actual client is still something that it's like crazy, right? And the answer was that the reason is that every single company does it differently, and they don't and they can't find a software that is flexible enough for them to do their thing. And then we came up with this concept where you're creating a software that works the way the computer works. It's the same structure. And then what happens is you can create endless flows because you haven't embedded meaning into the elements. The only thing that you've done is you allowed the information to flow in any direction that they want. I'll give you an example. If you create an element in RegPack and you say, okay, this element needs to have and you say, okay, this is just string. And this string is also triggered when it's filled out to create a payment plan at the same time. Now, in the beginning, like normal software would say, okay, what situation would want to trigger for that? Either they are from California or their name is Eric or whatever. So you need to put in the constraints. But here, instead of doing that, what you're doing is you're saying, this element can be whatever you want, and then once the action happens, the action is triggered. Now, the funny thing is that is exactly how computer languages work. When they encapsulate elements, so the only innovation that we did is we moved it up one level from the computer language to the computer software itself. And then what happens, you don't have to be a developer to be able to create these unique processes that normally only developers could create.
Yeah, this is very interesting stuff. We've got a couple minutes before our next break. I'll bring in Professor Hanfield again just to kind of quickly comment on that. You know, one of the areas of software that I think is lacking is really in the sort of design and conceptual phase, right? I mean, we track all sorts of software. So you have production systems, you've got manufacturing systems, you have ERP systems, there are all these different systems that you have. But to Asaf's point, they have some root structures and basic workflow and functionality that is normal and is expected. But you do have like all this focus on these bespoke applications and systems. And there's not a whole lot that's really good at sort of understanding what's possible and like building out workflows. And this strikes me as being a pretty interesting play in that space. What do you think, Robert?
No, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, when you implement these large systems like SAP or Oracle, you know, the general rule of thumb is the more you customize it, the more that, is, you know, obviously your costs go up. You know, you have big consulting firms like EY and Accenture. And the more you customize, the higher the cost, but the greater the likelihood that something goes wrong. So, you know, I think if we start to build these kinds of systems that are much more configurable and are much more able to adapt to changes that are outside the kind of the bespoke structure, that's going to be a huge win for companies, because that otherwise it's just, you know, you're hiring programmers to customize it, and it's expensive and likely to cause problems.
Yeah, expensive and brittle, I think, is the term too that comes into play here. And you make a really good point, which is, and I've seen this myself, and then you go to the cloud, like SAP talking about going to the cloud. Well, guess what? Then you have to get even more strict around the component parts that you activate. And you want to make all of your other innovations downstream somewhere. Well, that gets pretty difficult. The more you customize, the hairier and the more unwieldy these things get. And then you wind up spending tons of time just keeping the lights on, just, you know, with your developers and your IT managers ripping their hair out, winding up like me. We'll be right back, folks. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Inside Analysis.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. 800-627-6493. 800-627-6493. 800-627-6493. That's 800-627-6493. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA. Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-755-4281. 800-755-4281. 800-755-4281. That's 800-755-4281.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, face the facts. You made a mistake. You made a bad purchase. A timeshare is not an investment. It's a money pit that continues forever. If you use your timeshare, that's great. But if you don't and you want to legally get out of your contract, call my friends right now at the Timeshare Exit Hotline. They're an experienced team of lawyers who help good people like you get out of a timeshare contract that they just don't want. Don't throw away your money on maintenance fees. Use it for things you really want. We can help you end your timeshare contract and stop the money drain immediately. If you're ready to move on with your timeshare, call our team right now.
Cancel your timeshare now with a free call. 800-289-0413. 800-289-0413. 800-289-0413. That's 800-289-0413. Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-710-3739. 800-710-3739. 800-710-3739. That's 800-710-3739. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply.
Inside Analysis. Here's your host, Eric Cavanaugh.
Folks, welcome back to Inside Analysis. We're talking all things CHIPS Act, but also dynamic software. So the whole stack from the hardware all the way up through the software that's designed for it. And this is concept of flow. I'll throw it over to Professor Robert Hanfield from NC State, a supply chain expert. I mean, you want a supply chain to flow. You want electricity to flow through your house in as optimal a way as possible. You want water to flow. I've always been fascinated by the whole concept of flowing and of not, and it's interesting in the U.S. and in the Western world, we say go with the flow. In China, there's a cliche that basically says don't push the river, which is the same thing if you think about it, but it's just a different perspective. They're like, hey, guys, you know, you don't want to, if you're pushing the river, you're asking for trouble, basically. And if you think about how electronics are designed, what, you have capacitors, resistors, and transistors, right? The capacitors hold stuff, the resistors kind of slow it, the transistors facilitate the movement, and it's some combination of those things which creates these chips, right? So the concept of flow is really important all the way down to the chip design through software and everything in between, and that's one reason why it's in the title of your book, right, Professor?
Well, that's right. The book is called Flow, How the Best Supply Chains Thrive. And my co-author on this, Tom Linton, was the chief supply chain officer of a company called Flex, which is a contract manufacturer that we talked about. And, this book describes the idea of flow, which, you know, evokes the physical properties that exist in nature. And you've mentioned a few, the natural flow of rivers, the flow of electricity, materials, the flow of time. And, when we start thinking about flow, we ask the question, well, why can't we get, supply chains to flow like the systems that we see in physics and in nature? And, we talk about some of the things that, what are some of the business strategies, based on all this uncertainty and chaos that we have in these global supply chains, what can we do to improve flow? And by broadly applying these physical laws, we start to say, there's actually things you can do to deal with these uncertainties. And one of them is visibility. And, we talk about the a system called the Pulse that they implemented at Flex. And basically the Pulse was a system that allowed Flex, that had 80 factories around the world, hugely complex supply chain, that they were able to capture all of the flows in that supply chain in a single platform that people could see on their cell phones, if you can imagine. So imagine having your entire supply chain on your cell phone and you can see what's going on and you can react because, when there's a problem, you need to get experts into the room quickly, virtually, and figure out what to do to get that supply chain flowing again.
Yeah, that's just great. And that's very, very exciting stuff. And I'll throw it over to Asaf. There's a whole new space just blowing up right now in the data industry called observability. And it's a new term for an old thing, which is just like Professor Hamfield was saying, being able to see what's happening. So it's typically in the data space where we had a data feed coming from MySQL database. All of a sudden, it's not coming anymore. That's observability. But you also were talking about very dynamic functionality, right? So what gets me excited in learning about what you're building at RegPack is that it is malleable, right? So you can figure out the flow of the information and then kind of optimize the flow of how the application works. Maybe tell us a bit about that and why you think flow is so important as well as a concept.
First of all, I think flow is the main thing that is important for business, for information, for anything that we do. And Robin and I were talking about that his book is called Flow, and our current software is also called RegPack Flow, which is really shows like the connection between these concepts. So and the reason that RegPack is called RegPack Flow is because what we allow with this structure is the flow of information. We allow the information to move in the way that it should move and not constrain it by meaning or by structure that is pre-existent. So for example, the concept that we talked about that a data point can have triggers connected to it and then it will cause another thing to happen and so forth. And that's exactly the type of flow that exists in RegPack. So if someone comes in and they have, example from one of our clients where they needed to create different flows for different clients in different states because of laws. Mm-hmm. So the system would be able to react automatically based on the state that you're saying that you're in and then create a different flow for that client. And then let's say that client says that they have some financial problems. Then the flow would change again, and then it will allow them to do different auto billing plans or offer them scholarships. And then let's say they would say, "I'm from the 90th percentile of my class in mathematics, then at the same time, it will automatically give them a different flow. So because the information is structured in a way where there's no, it's not constrained, it's not held in a specific place, it can flow differently for every single applicant and every single person. And so the application is basically adapting and flowing differently for every single person and creating a unique experience for them based on their specific needs. And this is also connected to the visibility. So if you can see this happening for every single client as it is happening. And you can also, because of how the data is structured and that it doesn't have meaning connected to it, you can change the flows very easily without breaking the data. And that's the number one thing that happens in software that is being customized, is that at some point the power moves to the developer, where management come and say, oh, we want to change this process, or we want to offer this ability. And the developers say, oh, that will take us a year, right, to fix that, or that will take us 6 months. And we're back to the semiconductor problem, whereas in order to fix something, you have to wait 6 months for them to change something because the information is stuck. It's in a specific structure that you can't let it flow. So it's really connecting these two concepts. It's interesting.
I think that's fascinating. I mean, I really do. And I think about, because you're right, what happens is you get exceptions, right? So you have a certain workflow that works for 80% of customers or 80% prospects or whatever, and then there are always exceptions. And that's really where the friction has to be done. And typically what has then been done is a one-off. All right, we'll add a column to the database, or we'll add some additional trigger to a different workflow. We'll have that execute in a different environment. But the point is, every time you do one of those customizations, now that's something that has to be managed, and it's not probably documented very well. And so, I mean, I remember learning in the banking industry, and this is 20-odd years ago, to be blunt, but learning about how exception management is the bear. They, for 80% of the accounts, they close just fine at the end of every month. But for the 20% that don't, or especially for the 2% that are way at the edge, oh my goodness, you'll spend all day and all night trying to track down details, piece things together manually. That's the problem. And what you want is to have a system, as you suggested, isn't so calcified. I guess that's the term that I would use, because when you get these calcified systems, they're not very open to change. And then you wind up with, you know, all sorts of problems where you wind up messing with the 80% because you're trying to solve for the 1%. That's a very, very bad situation. Just for final comments, I'll throw it over to Robert Hanfield of NC State. What is the importance of flow and respecting flow and not pushing the river, real quick?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, what's happening is we reached really a tipping point. And I think executives and supply chain managers and companies, U.S. companies, are going to have to start thinking differently and applying these concepts of flow. So, you know, if we tie it back into the semiconductor industry, you know, we're not going to be able to import all of these suppliers into the U.S. and start building here. So we need to think differently. And one avenue is thinking about breaking up the system on a chip into composite parts. Mm. It increases performance and allow lower volume production to meet the needs of, you know, automotive and aerospace and Department of Defense. And, you know, to Asaf's point, also allows these chips to be customized to their own needs at a lower cost point. So we're starting to gain traction on this idea commercially. Companies like AMD are starting to do this. And, you know, this would allow companies the opportunity to maybe have different components in inventory to mix and match them.
Right.
To create customized systems into a printed format. And, you know, the approach would then become a better system at a high resolution. And you know, this could be a different way of reshoring the industry to bring it back home.
I love it. That is really interesting stuff. Let's put a pin in that and bring it back for another show. Very cool stuff. Look these guys up online, folks. You've been listening to Inside Analysis.
Southern California's Mind Spring. The legends you love and the best talk.
KCAA Loma Linda. KCAA Loma Linda. KCAA Loma Linda.
This segment sponsored by the generous support of the Dream Team. Looking for the keys to something bigger and better? Downsizing or relocating to the perfect spot? Oscar Ramirez from Century 21 Lois Lauer Real Estate and Matt Flores from Secure Choice Lending are here to help you sell or buy with their trusted and experienced knowledge and advice. People are calling Oscar and Matt at 951-751-3249. That's 951-751-3249. Real estate and loan advisors Oscar and Matt can give you a no-cost consultation. You don't have to buy anything. Matt and Oscar can help you figure your way through the complicated real estate market. Email Oscar at loislauer.com or on Instagram at Oscar Ramirez Garcia and Matt Flores at securechoicelending.com. Don't let today's real estate pitfalls stop you from dreaming. Make your new home dreams come true. DRE number 0207-0344. Se habla español.
This is Judge Herb Dodell, and our show is called For the People. It's available every Monday at 4 o'clock, 4 to 5. And we'll be talking about all kinds of things pertaining to the law and how it really works from the inside as opposed to the outside. So tune in and learn all you need to know about the legal system and how it works.
Our sponsor, Applied Earthworks, serves the Inland Valley in Southern California for over 24 years. Specializing in cultural resource management, an expert in archaeology, paleontology, architectural history, and historic preservation, making it possible to build for the future without sacrificing our cultural heritage. Learn more and see employment opportunities at AppliedEarthworks.com. Progress and preservation. Applied Earthworks supports our veterans.
Hi, I'm food critic Alan Borgen, and I'm excited to tell you about Ray's Shanghai Bistro, located next to Redlands DMV on Ligonia in Redlands. Ray's Shanghai Bistro offers the largest and most delicious array of traditional and original Chinese dishes available in the Inland Empire. Some of my favorite dishes are the house-made pot stickers, the crisp pork spare ribs with garlic, their unique spicy lamb with bamboo, the sweet and tangy deep-fried orange peel beef, and the savory basil spicy shrimp, plus lots of vegetarian dishes. Whether you dine in, pick up the food, or have them cater your next party or special occasions, you will see why Ray's, spelled R-U-I apostrophe S, Shanghai Bistro, is truly the best Chinese restaurant in the Inland Empire. Their website is raysshanghaibistro.net. That's raysshanghaibistro.net. R-U-I-S, ShanghaiBistro.net. Happy eating. You won't be disappointed.
Alfred Signs in Fontana honors our military troops and veterans for their sacrifices. Remember them in our prayers until these trying times are over. America's troops are our angels of peace and wings of protection, fighting to defend and keep freedom in our great country and around the world. That's Alfred Signs in Fontana, thanking our troops for their sacrifice, reminding us that we live free thanks to our brave soldiers, and God bless America. For veteran suicide prevention help, call 24 hours a day at 800-273-8255.
Bob Vila here with my home improvement tip of the day. Winter's on the way, and that means homeowners are once again resuming their seasonal quest to get the most heat for the least money. If you have a fireplace that's inefficient, you might want to consider installing a fireplace insert. Most inserts are considerably more efficient than the fireplaces they replace. The best way to vent an insert is into a stainless steel liner that extends through the existing flue, from the top of the stove to the top of the chimney. That setup provides the highest efficiency, plus it's easy to inspect and clean. Though you can also vent the stove insert into the existing chimney, it's a bit trickier. That's because the proportions of the existing chimney may not match up with the size of the insert. If that's the case, the chimney won't draft properly, and besides getting smoke in your eyes every time you open the stove, you'll also get a rapid buildup of flammable acid-laden creosote in the chimney. Get more info at bobvila.com and right here at home with me, Bob Vila.
It's time to make the Tri-City Center in Redlands a regular part of your weekly shopping experience. Tri-City is home to a wide assortment of quality businesses, including the all-new Ocean Aquatics. Check out their variety of exotic tropical fish, along with fish food, accessories, and tanks of all shapes and sizes. The Tri-City Center is located just off of Alabama and the Tennessee exits in Redlands. Visit the Tri-City Center today and find out why it's called the Mall with a Heart.
NBC News Radio. I'm Chris Caraggio. Final preparations are underway for Queen Elizabeth's state funeral in London. World leaders, including President Biden, attended a reception with King Charles at Buckingham Palace this evening. Great Britain also observed a national minute of silence today. The muted bells of Big Ben rang at 8 p.m. in London to mark the start of a national moment of reflection on Sunday. The hundreds found dead in a mass grave in Izium, Ukraine, show clear signs of torture. That's according to the Ukraine ambassador to the U.S. Appearing on ABC's This Week, Ambassador Oksana Makarova said this latest discovery is just more evidence of Russia committing war crimes in the country. She noted entire families were found among the victims. Makarova called on the democratic world for more support, saying it will be cheaper to win the war while it's still contained in Ukraine. Representative Henry Cuellar says busing migrants to sanctuary cities doesn't solve problems at the border.
By sending off folks off to New York and Chicago, it does bring attention, but we want to focus more on solutions.
Appearing on CBS's Face the Nation, the Texas Democrat stressed the importance of solutions instead of using migrants as political pawns for publicity. He pointed to more support for law enforcement as key in enhancing border security. He called for both more personnel and more equipment in order to enforce the repercussions of those not seeking asylum. The Las Vegas Aces are the 2022 WNBA champs. On Sunday, the team took down the Connecticut Sun on the road in Game 4 to win the best-of-five series, 3-1. The title comes in the first season of Coach Becky Hammon, a former NBA assistant with the San Antonio Spurs. It also marks the first championship in franchise history. Chelsea Gray took home WNBA final MVP honors. And President Biden is slated to host the World Series champion Atlanta Braves at the White House next week. The team will make the trip on September 26th, the same day they open a 3-game series against the Washington Nationals. Atlanta is coming off its first title in more than 25 years as they took down the Houston Astros late last year. The Braves are primed for another postseason berth in 2022. I'm Chris Caraggio, NBC News Radio.
You're listening to KCAA Loma Linda at 106.5 FM, K293CF Moreno Valley. Now, here's a new concept, digital network advertising, where businesses display your ad inside their building. If a picture's worth a thousand words, your company is going to thrive with digital network advertising. Choose your marketing sites or jump on the DNA system and advertise with all participants. Your business ad or logo is rotated multiple times an hour inside local businesses where people will discover your company. Digital Network Advertising, DNA, a novel way to be seen and remembered. Digital Network